Aloha, and welcome to 6-Bit Storybooks Podcast, a podcast dedicated to sharing the stories of those who love knitting and fiber, and even those who aren't aware of the joy that both bring. This is Episode 9, The Comfortable Conversation. Today, Melody and I do our favorite thing, the 6 questions bit, where each of us asks the other 3 questions. As with our earlier podcasts, we want to share with you a treat that you can keep. Today, you can receive a special gift of our comfortable collections. Melody gives a much-loved recipe, which you'll hear about a bit in our conversation. I share a few goodies, too. You can receive this download delivered right to your inbox by visiting our 6-Bits Storybooks website, www.6storybooks.com. Look for podcasts in the upper right-hand corner and click on Episode 9. For those in the U.S., you can simply text COMFORT, COMFORT, to 44222, and we will get it out to you. Again, simply text COMFORT, COMFORT, to 44222, and it's just that easy. For those of you who subscribe to 6-Bit Storybooks or ordered the first issue on Earth, be sure to check the inbox for the email account associated with your PayPal account. We sent the subscribers extra email out to you with your special link to tips and treats and other goodies that are in addition to your first issue. Also, for those subscribers who may have an email address that's associated with PayPal that may be really outdated and one that you don't use anymore, remember to connect with us. Chances are you are missing out on our mailings and you may be missing out on things that you need. So be sure to email me, hello, H-E-L-L-O, Melissa, M-E-L-I-S-S-A, at 6bitsstorybooks.com. And now let's join Melody. So grab your tea or coffee and join us as we simply chat and knit together. We are so glad that you are here. Welcome, Melody.
Good morning, Melissa.
So before we start on our 6 questions, do you want to just kind of, I know you're knitting because we already talked about that. Do you want to share with us what you are knitting?
I'm currently knitting on the Golden Goat Cowl for the Unearthed KAL. And I'm maybe halfway through the pattern.
Oh, good.
Yeah, you know, it's gonna grow with the blocking, so I don't really know where I am exactly, but I'm just, you know, enjoying, and I knit on it in the evenings most of the time, and when I commute, when I go to the city, so yeah, it's a very very pleasant knit, and I don't have to think or anything, so yeah. And I'm using Jamieson's Heather, which is a 100% Shetland yarn.
And that's the one, I love it. When you were describing it, you said it was like a little dirty sheep. Remember?
That's the one.
You mentioned something that I think is encouraging for knitters to hear. And I think when you see Golden Wood, the actual cowl, mm-hmm. and you see how it has some different things going on with it. And then when mm-hmm. you see the pattern, sometimes when we see a pattern and we see, oh, charts, oh, more than one chart, that people will have a tendency to say, oh, I'm not that good of a knitter, or mm-hmm. I shouldn't try this. But you said that it's become, well, I mean, almost rhythmic, yes? You're not having to tote around the chart everywhere.
Oh, what? I don't actually have the chart with me.
So how is it, do you think you could just, you know, in an encouraging way, kind of explain the cowl before we start in our question time? Just, I think it's important for knitters to know there comes a point sometimes with charts that you can actually abandon the chart and just use your knitting.
Yeah, the chart is actually like a graphic version of the pattern. So, you know, especially for this pattern, there's like maybe 10 rows and 4 rows are kind of the same. They're the same rows that I just repeated. So the chart, even though the pattern, you know, it features lace and twisted stitches, it could look a bit difficult, but really it's simple lace. And when you follow the chart and you do it, you know, once, twice, you start to, when you look at the pattern, you could visualize, and if you put like the chart next to your work in progress, you could understand how the knitting happens. And by doing that, you can literally read your knitting. So at the end, because you're doing the same process over and over, at the end you don't need a chart anymore. You can just read the actual knitting and you know, fix your mistakes if you dropped a stitch here or there. And yes, yeah, so it's very intuitive. It's not like a complicated lace stitch or lace repeat that requires you to look at the chart all the time. Once you've done it like once or twice, you're able to just bring your knitting and knit.
Yeah. Oh, so you're zipping along. How about, I'm going to put you on the spot, sort of, because I mentioned it already, but you want to snap a picture of what you are doing and post it on Instagram and let people see that we are starting to record. And for those people that are listening to us now after the fact, because... sorry. I'm playing with new yarn and I was sniffing it just a second or two ago.
Is that natural fiber?
It's. I'll tell you about it in a minute, but it smells so good and I like stuffed my nose in it. And I knew as soon as I did that, it started tickling and I was like, okay, don't sneeze. Don't sneeze. But I know knitters everywhere are guilty of that, of just sticking your face in the yarn to smell it. But yeah, for those of you listening, you can scroll back through our Instagram feed and see what Melody posted on Friday. Mm-hmm. Today is November the 20th. And this is actually episode 9 for us.
Yes.
So we're going to talk about comfort today. That's our theme for our 6 questions. And before we jump into the questions, I wanted to tell you what I just had my nose stuffed in.
Yes, please.
I have had a week that has been anything but comfortable. I think I shared with you, I'm pretty certain I did, that my identity has all of your papers, all of your important information that you have that's out there in the world. I had been told some time ago that that information had been compromised and they were keeping an eye on it, but not to worry. These things happen a lot and nothing ever comes of it until something comes of it. And so it did. Something came of it. And this week has been just, it's been sabotaged, hijacked and sabotaged. And so for me, it's just, you know, it was a bit of a struggle. And then came this delightful, unexpected parcel in the mail from the dear sweetheart behind Buckaloo View, who is our friend. You and I both share the same friend now. That you met her first. But Liesl is in New Jersey, and she sent just a delightful parcel, and inside of it was this yarn that I've just been stuffing my nose in. It's from her 2015 collection, which it's, the fiber is 100% blue face Lester. Mm-hmm. And it was dyed with walnuts. Mm-hmm. And it is just delightful. And it's her Erin 3 base. Have you used her Erin white yarn yet?
No, but you know, it's funny that you mentioned that because I was on her website this afternoon actually looking at her most recent shop update, and I looked at that specific yarn and I was in awe by the colors and the way the fiber looked, the twist, you know, in the ply.
And that's kind of, that's just, it feels good. I was squeezing it. I felt like it was, I sent her a message. I sent her a voice message saying, oh my gosh, you have no idea how awesome this was. So the Erin is in my hand. It's in my grubby little paw right now. And I'm going to do, it's like deja vu from last time we recorded together. I was balling up some yarn for Discovery, which I cast on. I have two rows done. And I just have not been able to knit on that one. Mm-hmm. And part of the reason is it's your fault. And so I'm blaming you. Everybody.
It's my fault.
It's always Melody's fault, but for being so wonderful. Goldenwood, everybody and their brother is knitting it. And and I'm going to take my time with Discovery. There are some people knitting Discovery. There's another lady that's knitting Avon, and she is blowing my mind, first because she's so fast and two because her color choices. But because so many people have been knitting Goldenwood, and because my daughter is a huge Tolkien fan and she is not going to listen to this message or this podcast, I'm safe. She loved the yarn when I opened it, and she's like, oh my goodness, isn't this gorgeous? And the way she was going on about it and the fact that, you know, bringing it full circle, Liesl was such a delight and a kind spirit to share this with us. And Natalia is so excited to see it. And she loves Tolkien, and I love you. You made the pattern. I'm going to try my hand at knitting Goldenwood because everybody's zipping along and it looks like it's so fast. And
it is.
Yeah. And you just said that it's intuitive, and I'm just like, okay, I can be intuitive sometimes. So I'm going to ball this up by hand, and I'm going to make it and hopefully have it done for Natalia's Christmas present.
Yeah, that makes a really quick Christmas present. I think it goes really fast, really. So,
yeah, and it's so comfortable to squish it and feel it, and it just feels good. Although it is different because the original cowl was knit in a worsted weight, yes?
Yes.
Okay. And the stitch, it's how many stitches per inch, do you remember?
I know. Absolutely not.
I know. Isn't that, did you just think that's so hilarious when somebody asks you that? Like, just because you're knitting something, you remember all the details. Anyways, I think I shall have plenty for it. The cowl, the nice thing is, it's a cowl, and my daughter has a small frame, so I needn't make it as long, perhaps. And I have two skeins. They're 182 yards or 166 meters per skein.
But that's good then.
Oh, yeah, yeah. So I have plenty. But I thought what I was thinking of doing is to make the cowl and hopefully reserve a wee bit and make a little something else too for her. So yes. We'll see how it works.
You don't even have, you know, to add buttons. You could start with a provisional cast on and join, you know, in the round at the end. So then you could knit as much as you want.
I could do that, but I like the buttons. I love buttons. I am like a button freak. And yes.
And you have plenty of buttons, I think.
I do. In fact, I'm looking at my desk as... I've got six jars, mason jars, large mason jars full. plus I have my tins, but these are like family passed down ones. And I don't know if other people do this. So here's a little tidbit before we start. I like to, when a shirt or pants or whatever has run its course in our family, and with three kids, they wear their clothes to shred it. I mean, like, brother will, you know, wear his favorite flannel hoodie, and it's a button down one, and he wears that thing all across season, and just I patch it and repatch it and re-sew it, and when it's time to say aloha, farewell to it, I will save some of them, and I save and make little patches for mending for other garments. But before I, you know, say adios completely to the garment, I take the buttons off of things, and I string the buttons on just a piece of thread or twine, and then I toss them in the tin. And you'd be surprised how many good buttons there are out there in the world. Mm-hmm. So before you cast off something and, you know, throw it into the trash, you know, you can reclaim parts of it for other things.
That's smart.
Mm-hmm. And I find that worn out shirts, jean shirts and flannel, they make the best patches because you can layer them and make patches out of them. All right. Well, today our topic is comfort. And I think after just our weeks, you know, these recent weeks, and looking ahead to the joyous times that we have ahead of us for here in the U.S., a week from yesterday, we have our Thanksgiving. Do you guys do something akin to that in Latvia?
No, you know, it's an American celebration, but every year I try to have, you know, some kind of small gathering with family and just, you know, be grateful for being together as a family and things like that. And it's funny because I'm from the youngest generation, and it's something that my parents don't really understand. Mm-hmm. And it's funny in a way because usually it's the parents, you know, that try to bring the family together. And yeah, it's something that I love doing, you know, just cooking for the family and just spending time together, really. So no, we don't have anything national, but I guess anyone could, you know, just spend time together and cook things together and just, yeah, just be a family.
Yeah, and I thought perhaps that was something, I mean, not that I expected, I mean, knowing that we celebrate Thanksgiving and it's, you know, definitely the day of Thanksgiving here next week is something that's celebrated here in the U.S. But I know other cultures in other places have their own thankful day or something special. And I didn't know if maybe you guys had something that was a national day, maybe even in France where it's just a day to get together and eat. Or is that pretty much
every day? That's every day.
But as this time of year, you know, it's definitely more slow down and enjoy family time is the idea. And oftentimes, creative people aren't slowing down. They're doing everything to make everything beautiful and perfect for everyone to enjoy, which is a wonderful thing. But today we're going to talk about comfort. So we can go ahead and ask questions. I'll let you go first.
Okay. So my first question to you is, what does cozy mean to you? Is that a place, a feeling, an object?
Ah, good question. Cozy. For me, I would say that cozy is a combination of things. Mm-hmm. I like to feel cozy outside of my skin with, I've got a pair of gorgeous, comfortable hand-knit socks that a beautiful woman, her name is Jessica, and on Ravelry, you can find her as Jess, just show me your knits, or show me your knits. She's an amazing spinner, and show me your knits. That's her name on Ravelry, and I think on Instagram. But a couple years ago, she knit me these gorgeous gray socks, and they're slipper socks that, I mean, they're lacy, but they're like bed socks, so they're not super tight. And I love curling up in them and in my comfy lounge pants, which are these gray linen pants. And I like to sit in our window seat. Mm-hmm. And for me, being cozy would have the kids around. We would all be reading. And I would be knitting. I would be knitting something. Yes. And gray. I see cozy as gray, 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 gray all around me, which energizes me. I don't know why. And sunlight streaming in through the window. Mm-hmm. Yeah. So that would be for me cozy.
Mm-hmm.
All right, so I'm flipping it now and I'm going to ask you, what piece of hand knitting do you enjoy wearing the most because it makes you feel comfortable?
It's funny that you asked me that because that's my next question to you, actually.
Is it really?
Yes. So I don't think that I have one piece, really. I'm a creature of comfort, and I like to be comfortable from head to toe. So usually, at the moment, I'm actually wearing my pair of Labian socks that we mentioned a couple of episodes ago, that are hand knit here in Latvia by a wonderful lady. So I wear them, you know, when it's really cold and when I want to be really cozy. Or I recently knit a little pair of sleepers as well, and I'm in the process of knitting another pair for someone precious for Christmas. And yes, I love to wear hats at home as well, especially, you know, I have curly hair, and after washing my hair, in order for my hair to be presentable, they have to stay warm. So I wear hats very often at home. And yes, so socks and hats. And I recently finished a very cozy sweater, so I love to wear that as well. I'm not wearing mittens, even though I love mittens, but yes, shawls sometimes. All the knit, really. I don't have anything specific.
Now, do you mind taking a minute? And I know we've talked about your Latvian socks, but can you describe them for us that may want like a visual mental picture?
So they are knit in 100% wool. They are quite chunky, I will say. They are charcoal gray, so very, very dark gray. And there's some color work on the top. There's some white part and some very light pink. And on the cuff, there's a picot edging, which is a traditional stitch that is mostly used for Latvian mittens. Is that called a cuff as well?
It is.
So yes, it's traditional. I don't know about the Fair Isle part. I think it's, you know, the knitter made it out, just, you know, playing with stitches. I don't think it's anything traditional, but they really spoke to me when I saw them the first time, and I was so happy because she sold, you know, socks and mittens and hats and things like that, and everything was in different categories by sizes, and I told her my size, and she grabbed a couple of pairs, and I just fell in love with these ones, and I wear them a whole lot. They are, you know, they are appealing, and yes, but you know, they're very, very special, and I don't really mind the peeling. You know, it's something that you could always remove and wash the socks, and you know, take care of them, and even if they ever have holes or things like that, I wouldn't mend them, and you know, just wear them to death.
So those are the ones that your local yarn shop has. Those, or no?
No. I actually bought them in the old town.
There's a couple. That's right. Yeah.
Yes. There's a couple of ladies that are selling hand knits, socks, and mittens and things like that. And I bought this pair, and it's funny that we talk about that because I was thinking about her today, and I know that it's getting quite cold here in Latvia, and I just realized that I have, you know, only one pair of cozy socks, and I was thinking of going there actually tomorrow and grab lacy ones, because I wear them at home and I also wear them outside. I went to the post office this afternoon and I was wearing my rubber boots because it was raining. Mm-hmm. And you know, they are the perfect socks to wear outside because the boots are, you know, very loose, so you can definitely wear your pair of socks. So. Yeah.
And those are the kind of boots, we call them puddle jumpers, my family and I. And when we have our puddle jumpers on, it just seems like you need some warmth in there because
yes.
they need that. Mm-hmm. Yeah, so your coziness sounds very, very cozy. And that's funny, we came up with the same question. Was yours actually the same exact question?
The exact, I can read mine to you if you want to. So the second question is, what is your most cozy, comforting knit?
As far as my personal, like it's something that I actually created or someone gave me?
Oh, it could be both, I guess.
Okay. So my favorite knitted item is one that is not hand knit. It's just knitted or probably machine knit. And it's mm-hmm. my grandfather's cardigan. And I wear that all the time. It is not cozy in the sense that it's made out of 100% acrylic. It's probably made out of steel wool blended acrylic with something else in it. Mm-hmm. Because it's been around since I can remember my grandfather. And it's so funny because it's the same color as this wool, maybe with a bit more orange that I've just finished balling up. Mm-hmm. But I love that. And generally, I will have that on. And for as far as my go-to knitted item that I put on all the time, I have to say it's one of my own patterns, but it's not because it's my own pattern. It's because it's in gray. It's it was knit in Space Cadet Lyra yarn, and it's a cable plied yarn, so it's really, really springy and, you know, just it's a bouncy yarn. Mm-hmm. And I have drizzle in a number of different colors, but that gray one, the original one, it's also on the on our Six Bits website. My picture in that is me in that hat. And if you bump into me most days, that's how you will actually see me. I have that hat on because, like you said, I have hair that has a lot of personality. And I can tuck a ponytail and like wrap it around and make it like a bun ponytail without putting a bobby pin in it and cinch mm-hmm. it over, put the hat drizzle over top of it. Mm-hmm. Or I can let my hair be long and kind of unruly and put it on. I can braid my hair and put it on, and it covers up that wiry, fuzzy top of my hair head that I get. So mm-hmm. yeah, it would be my grandfather's not comfortable, itchy, but really well made, and I love everything else about it, cardigan mm-hmm. and drizzle, but I don't usually wear them at the same time. Okay, so for comforting, now I have a question. Mm-hmm. With the comfortable theme and being cozy, what is a pattern that you find yourself feeling comfortable knitting? And one that you've knit more than once. It's like mm-hmm. it's the one that just brings you a sense of comfort that you go back to it. Or do you have one?
I know which pattern I have knit the most. I don't know if it's, you know, the most, it's cozy. It's a cozy finished hat. It's the Orchids and Fairy Lights hat by Tiny Owl Knits, which is actually one of the very, very first pattern that I've knit.
Is that out of the book, the Woodlands book that she has? Or no?
Yes, I think it's in the book, but you know, she published the pattern way before having the book. So it's one of the very first patterns that I actually purchased, and I just love this hat. It's very comforting because it features nopes, you know, mm-hmm. bubbles. It's very pleasing to the eye, and I think I've made three of them on the request of friends and family, and I might have to knit another one this year. You know, so it's cozy for people, really. And even though, you know, there's a lot of textures, and things like that, and the pattern is not charted, which is something cozy for me because I'm a visual learner. So if I have a chart, I can go really, really fast compared to just reading, you know, one sentence after the other. But it's a very, yeah, cozy knit. And one pattern that I... Sorry, what was the very first question again?
Oh, this is a test. I cannot repeat the questions. No. Which one do you... So that's the one you knit the most. And yes. Which one do you find is like the coziest? Maybe not... It doesn't have to be the coziest as like the final product, but mm-hmm. as you're knitting, it feels all yeah. cozy and comfy to your hands. And it can either be a specific pattern or it could be a specific mm-hmm. time that you were knitting and just kind of explaining what that felt like because it was super cozy.
Mm-hmm. Well, I guess that depends on many things. I don't have any specific pattern in mind, but I think the pattern would need to have a chart. That would be lace or something like that. And that would depend on the yarn as well. Something cozy for me, something woolly. So if I have woolly yarn in my hands and, you know, like a tart or a stitch that is very intuitive or very, I don't know, very pleasant to knit, that would be, you know, the most cozy thing.
Well, what makes it pleasant for you? Because I know, like you said, that hat has bobbles. Yes, the hat that you talk. See, for me, bobbles to me is not cozy. It's mm-hmm. not like, oh. So for you, when you say that something is, you know, it's comfortable to you, what kind of stitch would that be? What kind of stitch is one that you enjoy?
For example, I love looking at reverse stockinette stitch, but I don't really enjoy knitting it, you know, purling. It's the same with bobbles. I like making them, but they're not my favorite thing. But I love a project that has bubbles. So I guess something cozy to knit would be, yes, I don't have any specific stitch in mind, but something that would be really intuitive and easy to knit.
Something that you can just relax into, and it's not,
yes,
it's not so difficult. So it wouldn't be like a ton of yes. intricate stitches that you have to focus on. It's kind of, you could zone out maybe, or no?
Yeah. It's just something that I wouldn't have to think about, just, you know, knitting, and I could watch Lord of the Rings, for instance, and, you know, just relax and not think deeply about my knitting and, you know, like, what should I do next, or things like that. I'm a very, I like finished objects. So I guess I love the process of knitting, mm-hmm. but I'm more, I just love finished objects. So, mm-hmm. The process must be very enjoyable for me. If, you know, I feel that I'm struggling doing something, it's not that pleasant anymore.
Oh yeah, especially if it's a constant struggle. I mean, it's okay if like the first time you go through the chart, you know, the mm-hmm. first time you're experiencing it, that you're like, ooh, this is new and this is new and this is new. For me, I like that new experience, but I like when I've done it once to feel as if, you know, kind of to be esteemed and to feel like, mm-hmm. okay, I'm good. I'm set up for the next time I go through this. I can do this, mm-hmm. versus it to be a constant challenge. I like to be challenged and then have a moment to kind of enjoy the fact mm-hmm. that, okay, I am progressing. And it's not beyond me, and that way I can kind of zone out, because I will like to do just like you and have something else going on. I generally read while I knit, so I want to be able to practice first several rounds maybe, or several rows, and to see it, to understand it, and to lock it in. And then I want to be able to set my brain on not so much autopilot, but not 100% attention, because I like to read, and I don't like things coming in between me and my book. So
do you read from an actual book, or do you have any book reader with you?
Generally, if I had my way and I could do it, I like to read from an actual book that I can set in my lap, not my iPad or the iPads, the computer, whatever. I like the old fashioned book and having it in my lap and feeling it. I like texture. And then what I do is I put the book far enough in front of me that I can see it. And then my knitting is, of course, in my lap as it is right now. And I can glance down at it and then glance right back up. But then there are times where Natalia and I like to knit together, or she likes to draw together, and I'll do some other hand work. And we will listen to audiobooks.
Mm-hmm.
I love Audible. It is... It's like the second greatest invention. So, anyways. All right. So now I forgot. I asked you that question, yes?
I think so.
Yes. So is it my turn to answer the question? Or is it now my turn to ask you?
Yes, I get to ask you the last one.
Oh, we're on the last question already. Wow.
I think so.
Yeah, okay.
There's only three.
That's right. Instead of doing six questions as six questions for each of us, it's three questions for you, three questions for me. So six questions total. We're evolving, changing it up. You never know what we're going to do. Okay, you go, girl.
So could you describe a comforting or cozy thing that you like to do on the weekend? It's not really a question, but, you know.
Yeah, no. On the weekend, for us, weekend is together time as a family. So we're all here under the same roof without an agenda. So for me, what I like to do is get us all, you know, doing things that keep everybody occupied. And we like to walk and do stuff. So collectively as a family, I like us to go for our walks on the beach, to get outside, or to play some board games together. Kind of simple to connect. My kids are getting older, and as a mom, it's definitely dawning on me that I have to knit faster so I can give them things, because they're going to be leaving me. I need to shove every moment I can in with them, because they're growing up, and there's only a season that they're under your roof. You know, they definitely grow up and become wonderful people, and you get to enjoy them forever. But you only get to enjoy them for a small time under your roof, all of you together. So the weekends will find us doing that. And I try to get up before everybody else and before all that excitement starts. And I try to squirrel out a little bit of time, or carve out some time where I knit a little bit in the quiet moment before, before everyone wakes. So, well, my last question for you is, and maybe this will be inspiring to people, but if you were going to create if you were going to create the coziest of spaces to knit in your imaginings, you know, you're thinking of what is my crazy perfect spot, what would that look like? And feel like, what would be your comfortable spot to sit and knit?
It's very easy for me. That could be two different places. Either a treehouse with a very, very big window, you know, French window with different, you know, small windows, and a very cozy windowsill with cushions and a warm blanket, some tea, some candles around me, and I could look at the forest, not the trees outside.
Mm-hmm.
Or that would be the opposite. That would be a hobbit hole with a windowsill and cushions and a blanket and some tea and candles around me and probably a cat as well.
A cat. Aww.
How could something be cozy without a cat?
I don't know. We have Oleander, my cat, and he's like a, well, he's a cat first, and it's so funny because my dog Wiggles will see Oleander coming, and Wiggles is never more than 12 inches from me, and Wiggles just like looks, and generally it'll pop up and try to protect me from the cat because the cat will come and sit on whatever I am doing. If it's in my lap, he knows I'm using it and he sits on it. If it's in front of me on a piece of paper on a desk, instead of sitting in my lap like he usually does, he knows and he sits on my desk. So,
That's his way to show you love, I think.
no, it's his way of showing me the opportunity to love him, which I think is pretty good too. Well, those were our six questions, and I think that went by altogether too fast.
That's true. It was very cozy, and
Yes, it was.
I'm knitting, and I don't have tea nor candle or a cat, but it's very cozy.
Yeah, you know what? I think being together with friends is cozy. I feel like as we're sitting here chatting, I've been thinking about the people who are listening and imagining them in all sorts of places, in apartment buildings with that coziness of rain falling against their windows and the sounds of the cabs and the people below, or the coziness of being out in the country and looking out and seeing your room where it's warm and all your knitting or your spinning around. Yeah, it'd be fun if the people listening would snap a picture of their
Oh,
coziness
yes.
and then tag us in it so we could see it.
That would be great.
Yeah, that would be fun. So, what advice? We were going to talk about one, not advice, but one thing that is apart from the questions, but something that you would share that this time of year as we are moving into holidays, whether it's Thanksgiving and Hanukkah or Christmas or Joël? No, Feliz Joël? No.
Joyeux
Joël Noël. Okay, I was thinking I was getting Spanish and
Noël.
all confused, but that makes it a comfortable, happy time of year for you. What is something that you do like to do, whether it's to cook something? Do you have a special ritual or something that you like to do this time of year?
You mean waiting for Christmas celebration?
Yeah, it just seems like, well, I guess for us in America, we get the advantage, and not that other cultures don't, but I am American and have always been American, so that's my frame of reference. So your frame of reference being French, maybe you have something different, but it seems like we have, like as soon as Halloween ends, it's
That's
like boom, it's like let's start celebrating
true.
Christmas now because we start it with Thanksgiving and it goes all through November and all through December and Hanukkah and all of the Christmas celebrations or holiday enthusiasm all this time of year is just everybody is focused on that. So do you have something that this time of year that you generally like to do to usher in the holiday season?
Well, usually, I feel more in the Christmas spirit if I'm going back home because, Christmas is with your dear ones, and my family is in France. So this year I will have the chance to fly back to France and spend Christmas with my family. And I usually try to arrive, a couple of weeks before Christmas because Christmas is not just the Christmas day, but it's just the whole preparation for Christmas. And I must say that my family is not very traditional. They don't really like, preparing things. And that's very funny because that's exactly how I am. I could start preparing for Christmas in September, really. if that would be only me, I would have the Christmas tree, you know, in September and start preparing things, and that would be me 100%. But I'm trying to make my parents, you know, just enjoy the preparations and spend time together, and, you know, just trying to create traditions for our family, because it's never too late to create traditions. Mm-hmm. So I love cooking and I love baking. And when I come back home, it's been 3 years in a row since I've been making chocolates. It's orange. How could I say that? I think they're glazed, or slices of orange, and they are covered with chocolate. I make truffles as well. Of course, gingerbread cookies. You know, decorate the house and try to spend time with my family, since I live in another country. And we have this tradition of spending Christmas at my cousin's place, who lives in the middle of the countryside. And yeah, just do different things together, you know, get the Christmas tree and decorate the tree, and just, you know, spending time together, really.
Do you make your own ornaments?
I wish I would. When I go to France for Christmas, we have this big box of Christmas ornaments that that we've had, like, since I was a baby. And every year, you know, it's so much fun to just set up the tree, and just thinking about the first time, you know, the memories that I have associated with that specific ornament. And we have a couple of them that my mom and I did together when I was smaller. And, you know, we have more ornaments, and even though they're not handmade, we bought them together, and I have memories of that, and they're just beautiful.
So tell us.
So last Sunday I opened my shop.
Yay! And surprise, surprise, what's the name of your shop?
Mandarines. Yes. I'm selling my yarn and some other things, like little pendants that I make with heather that I gather in the woods here in Latvia. And yes, it was so much fun to open the shop and just to you know, I've been working on that for many, 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 many months, and just seeing everything coming together was, such a pleasure. Some people had some problems with PayPal, you know, just to put something in the cart, and because people were buying at the same time. So I guess there were some kind of crashes with PayPal, and I received, emails from people telling me that they had it in their basket, but when they wanted to check out, it couldn't work.
I have had that happen before, where you're just like, wait a minute, why is this not working? And then I go back and I see, I think it was with Anna Gregoria Fibers.
Yes.
Ay, dang me. I was in, I got there like as soon as she announced it on Instagram, and I was like getting the bag and the yarn, and Anna, I hope she's not like, what? But I kept like, what is the matter? I logged into PayPal and I tried again. And then I went back and I saw somebody right before me said, I got the last one.
I'm not surprised.
But yeah, that's part of life. Everybody can't have everything that they want at the same time. So were there some really fun moments for you as you were putting it together, and like that you were just like, oh my gosh, this is so much fun?
Well, you know, I had a very clear vision of how I wanted the website to look like, and I mean the pictures as well. So I always have a lot of fun taking pictures, and just, you know, taking pictures of my yarn and trying to showcase the color, and, you know, just trying to show them as accurately as I could was really, really nice. And, you know, just putting things together for having a theme for the shop, you know, very rustic and with natural elements, and something that would work with me and with, you know, my personality and things like that. It was just a lot of fun, just, you know, adding one product to the shop and then the second one. And when you see that everything works together, it's, you know, very gratifying. So,
yeah, one of the things that I think must be extremely gratifying is the packaging. Do you mind sharing with us briefly the story about even the boxes, the sweet story about the boxes?
So I'm very conscious of the environment and I don't want to use plastic or, yes, just no plastic. It's something that I'm very fond about. So it took me a lot of time to put the products in the shop and it took me a lot of time to think about the packaging that I wanted and do it in a conscious way. And I came across an organization here in Latvia that helps people with difficulties. And these people, they work, they have a workshop every single day and they create wonderful things. And one of the thing is packaging. Mm-hmm. So they use recycled material, cardboard and paper, and they make bags for that they sell, you know, for shop owners. And they can really, they have golden hands and they can make so many different things. And I went there a couple of weeks ago with the idea of having, I asked them if they could make a little box for the pendants that I sell in my shop. And they showed me a couple of samples and I selected the color and the paper and everything like that. And they actually made the boxes and they made the paper bags that I use for wrapping the yarn. So everything is handmade and it's made out of recycled material. So yeah, it's something that I'm very passionate about, and they could make other things for me in the future. And it's, you know, it's good for the environment and it's good for these people as well. So
yeah, they're local to you. And was I right in understanding and remembering? I know we talked about a lot of things as your shop was preparing to be birthed and shared with the world. But isn't it a special needs facility?
So yes.
People with special needs.
Yes.
Not just people who are, you know, down and out in their luck and maybe without a job, but these are people who have special needs physically or mentally, and they're proving themselves that they are they're helpful, and they have just as much of a story to share with the world as those people who don't have the same challenges. So I loved that part of bettering the world. So I'm excited. Yay. Hooray for your shop. And people can find it where?
They can go to my website, which is www.bmandarins.squarespace.com. And there's a special place that is for the shop. So you can just click on shop and you have the link to, it will link you to the shop.
Again, thank you for giving Melody and I the opportunity to connect with you. Help us place a story with your name. Introduce yourself. Find us on Instagram as 6BitStorybooks. Or download your copy of issue 1, which is Unearth, and join our KAL. Drop an email our way. You can reach either of us at hellomelissa or hellomelody@6BitStorybooks.com.